Hare Krishna. So with your permission and blessings, we'll try to share something on Bhaktivinoda Thakur today. It's a very wonderful day. In this pranam mantra of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we're learning many things about his personality and how special he is. He is known as Gaurashakti Swarupaya, one who is the very embodiment of the transcendental energy of the personality of Godhead. Just a little high. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Bhagavan Ki Jai. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is known in this verse as the personification of the transcendental energy of Lord Chaitanya. He is also known as Rupanuga Varayate. He is a strict, chaste, sold-out follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his principal disciple, Srila Rupa Goswami. When we look at the parampara, then every single personality in the parampara is a unique individual. They're all pure devotees, but they are all having their own personality, their own unique character, and they're all making a unique contribution to the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada's speciality was Paschatya Desha Tarine, that he was the one who brought it west, brought all the knowledge and made it so accessible for all people of all times. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Upa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine, he was bold, he was staunch, he was willing to speak out against the caste brahmanas, against the Mayavadis, against the atheists, against the academia. He was willing to speak out and take all risk to boldly present Krishna consciousness in an uncompromising way. Prabhupada said he was known as the chopper technique. Very, very strong. I said that once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was debating with someone. And the person got so bewildered, so shocked by what he was saying, that they basically emptied their bowels right there on the spot. I mean, you can imagine debating with such a personality. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, we see here, he was in some ways, we can say, the polar opposite to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was going out to the people. He was trying to meet everyone, go into the cities. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was going away. He was going to the lavatories to try and retreat from everyone. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye, the very embodiment of renunciation. He was completely averse to anything of the material world. So he was living in a totally different lifestyle of Bhajanandi. And then we come to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, someone who was effective, efficient, a visionary, someone who was basically laying the foundations for Krishna consciousness to spread all over the world. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was glorified by his contemporaries as the seventh Goswami. He said, yes, one person said, I have not met the six Goswamis, but I have heard about them. And having heard about the six Goswamis, when I look at Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think, yes, here is the seventh Goswami. Because he was such a follower. He was living the same life. He was living by the same principles. And today what I thought we could do, we only have a short amount of time, but we could reflect upon the life of the Goswamis and see how Bhaktivinoda Thakur was basically mirroring the life of the Goswamis in his own way. The Goswamis were all renunciates. They were vairagis. They were tyagis. They had turned away from the world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the opposite. He was a householder. He was a magistrate. He was working and functioning very much in the world. But it's amazing to think that despite his lifestyle being so much different to the six Goswamis, he was actually considered the seventh Goswami. Because internally, when you look at what he was doing and what the Goswamis was doing, it was basically exactly the same. The life of the Goswamis and their mission was laid out by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhakta Bhakti Krishna Prem Tatvera Nidhar Vaishnavera Kritya Ara Vaishnava Achar Krishna Bhakti Krishna Prem Seva Pravartan Lupta Tirtha Udara Ara Vairagya Shikshan. Mahaprabhu looked at the Goswamis and gave them different teachings, different instructions, different pieces of guidance as to how they can structure and establish the Krishna consciousness movement. So those we know, they established temples, they wrote many, many books, they excavated the holy places, they taught about Vaishnav culture, and ultimately they also showed the example of renunciation. And then after the Goswamis lived their whole life, then their follower, Srinivasacharya, was the one who then documented their life in the Sad Goswami Ashtakam. And he basically showed how what they did in their life was basically a complete fulfillment of what Lord Chaitanya's instructions were. So today what we'll do is we'll just take some verses from the Sad Goswami Ashtakam. If you have a phone and you want to get the words on your phone, you can. This is a very, very famous prayer by Srinivasacharya. And we won't have time to go through all of the verses, but we'll see how far we get. I'll just recite some of the verses, and then we'll actually witness how Bhaktivinoda Thakur was actually the perfect follower of the Goswamis, and how Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself was the seventh Goswami. So if you have the words, you can recite along with me. Krishna kirtana gana nartana paro prema mritam bonidhi dhira dhira jana piyo piya karo nirmat saro pujito Shri Chaitanya kripa baro bhuvi bhuvo Bhāravahantārako Vande rūpa sanātana raghu yugo Shri jīva gopālako. So this is the first. We won't sing it. No, we won't sing it. If we sing it, it will become very, very long. So you can say in unison with me when I sing. In this first verse of the Sad Goswami Ashtakam, Srinivasacharya is explaining Shri Chaitanya Kripa Bharo Bhuvi Bhuvo Bara Vahantarako, that the Goswamis were completely blessed. They were completely blessed by Lord Chaitanya. And therefore, because they were blessed by Lord Chaitanya, they were completely infused with the spirit of Lord Chaitanya. And what was the spirit of Lord Chaitanya? The spirit of giving, the spirit of spreading, the spirit of magnanimity and inundating the world in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, bhuvi bhuvo bara vahantarako, the Goswamis were constantly engaged in missionary activities in order to spread the movement of Lord Chaitanya. And this really then is mirrored in the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he was such a missionary. He was such a visionary. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told his followers, Suno suno nityananda suno haridas sarvatra amara agya koraha prakash prati gare gare giya magiye bhiksha bolo Krishna bhaja Krishna koro Krishna shiksha. So Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Haridas, prati gare gare, go to every single home, magiye bhiksha, and just ask them one charity. Bolo Krishna, bhaja Krishna, koro Krishna shiksha. Go door to door and tell everyone, chant, tell everyone, follow the instructions of Krishna and tell everyone to serve Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took that and he said, he announced to the whole world, Nityananda has opened the marketplace of the holy name, the Naam Hatha. Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas are going door to door and they've opened shop for anyone to purchase. Nityananda is the trader. Nadia godrume Nityananda Mahajan Pati Ache Naam Hate Jivera Karan Nityananda has opened up the marketplace and he's the trader. The good news is that the trader's completely intoxicated. He's completely in another state of mind. So the trader is giving away the goods. What's the goods that Nityananda is giving away in his marketplace? Nam, the name of Krishna. And what is the price that you have to pay in order to purchase the goods from Nityananda? Shraddhavan Janahe, Shraddhavan Janahe. So like this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur conceived of the Nam Hatha, a way in which Grihastha's congregation could come together and congregate to chant the holy names of Krishna, to help each other, and then to spread very, very far. And like this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur established 500 Namahattas in his time. Yes, he said, Nityananda is the trader, the goods is the holy name, the price is faith. And you know what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said? You know what my role is? Bhaktivinoda Thakur's role in the Namahatta? Anyone know? Take commission? No? Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, in the marketplace of the holy name, I am the lower than the broker. Beggar. He said, I'm the sweeper. I'm just the sweeper in the marketplace. Nityananda is the trader, many others are the brokers, his all his associates, and I'm simply the sweeper. Who am I? I'm nothing in the midst of them. But the deeper meaning is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying that in the marketplace of the holy name, we have to keep everything clean. We have to keep everything pure. We have to keep everything untainted. So in the marketplace of the holy name, I will just go around and do Harikatha. I will go around and do Harikirtan. And through my Harikatha and Harikirtan, I will keep everything pure. And that is what is required. So we may start so many temples. We may start so many projects. We may start so many Namahattas. But if we even have one sweeper like Bhaktivinoda Thakur who is keeping it all pure, then we can understand that people will be able to purchase the holy name of Krishna. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's vision was even beyond the Namahattas of Bengal. At one point in the late 1800s, he was writing in his periodical, Sajjana Toshani, and he was writing his vision. And in one famous article in Sajjana Toshani, he writes his vision, and he says, yes, the day will come. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't come to the world just to liberate a few people in India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to inundate the whole world with Krishna consciousness. And there will come a day, you mark my words, there will come a day when the Germans, the Russians, the French and the English will join hands with the Bengali brothers and together they will chant, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan. That was his first prediction. And then on top of that, in Sajjana Toshi, he made another amazing prediction. This was in the late 1800s. He already envisioned it. He said, a great general will come. A great general will come to this world, and this general will take the holy name all over the world. Some say it's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that he was predicting, and some say it was Srila Prabhupada. And all the Vaishnavas say that it's both of them. Because Prabhupada even said, it's not that I am preaching, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is preaching through me. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada were the manifestations of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's vision of someone coming and spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. In this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was really laying the foundations for the Krishna consciousness movement. The Krishna consciousness movement was definitely brought to the West by Srila Prabhupada. But before him, in India, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was already structuring the movement of the Gaudiya Math. And before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda was laying the foundations through all his teachings and all the vision that he was giving. So the spreading of Krishna consciousness throughout the three worlds and throughout the entire world is definitely a joint combination of all of them. So just like the Goswamis were incredibly concerned, a Vaishnav means we must be concerned about the world. Martin Luther King said, just to quote someone contemporary, the people who want peace in the world have to be as intelligent, as organized, and as hardworking as the people who are creating conflict, war, and unrest. The people that are creating conflict and war in this world, somehow or other, they're so intelligent, they're so organized, and they're so on it. And the devotees, the people who actually want to do good, have to be planning, preparing, plotting, scheming as to how they will be able to spread Krishna consciousness. So this is what the Goswamis all do. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was no exception. So in this first verse, we're learning about how the Goswamis were so much in this mood of mission, being infused with the amazing Shakti of Lord Chaitanya. So now in the second verse, let's see what is said about the Goswamis.
Nana Shastra Vicharane Kanipuno Sadharma Sanstapako Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manya Sharanya Karo.
So here, of the Goswamis, it said, Nana Shastra Vicharane Kunipino. The Goswamis were taking the amazing treasure house of wealth of the different scriptures of the Vaishnav tradition. And what were they doing? They were extracting the most essential principles. And then they were presenting those principles in a way that was understandable to the people of the time. And in this way, Lokanam Hitakarino, they were giving actually the greatest benefit. The greatest benefit is to give people the benefit of spiritual vision. You can't change what happens around you, but you can change your own vision. You can change your own consciousness. You can change your own reaction to things. And all of that only happens when you have spiritual vision. So therefore, Krishna says in the Gita, Tasmada jnana sambhutam ritstam jnana sinatmana. He says this knowledge cuts all the doubts. And he says, Nahi jnaneina sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. There is nothing in this world so sublime as transcendental knowledge. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just like the Goswamis, was presenting so much philosophy for the benefit of the world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew seven languages. English, of course, Hindi, Urdu, Oriya, Sanskrit, Persian, and Latin. Any, how many here know over four languages? Anyone in the room? Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew seven languages. He was such a prolific writer. He wrote over 100 books in his time. Can you imagine writing 100 books? Even to read 100 books is difficult. How many of us have even read 100 books? Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote 100 books. And they weren't just any books. He wrote books of all categories. He wrote commentaries. For example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Amrita Pravaha Bhasya. So he was writing commentaries on Shikshashtakam, commentaries on Upadeshamrita, commentaries. Not only that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was writing deep philosophical works. Jiva Dharma, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, very, very deep philosophical works. Not only that, he was writing books which were appreciated by scholars. If you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Krishna Samhita, then it's such an amazing presentation to the academia, to the scholar, so that they can connect with the teachings of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Not only scholarly works, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote handbooks. So for example, he wrote a handbook, Navadip Dhyam Mahatmya, a handbook to the holy Dham of Navadvip, so that when you go to Navadvip today, to Mayapur, then you can carry that book with you and you can understand every place and the pastimes that took place there. And what to speak of all of these books, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote many, many books of poetry and song, which we'll talk about later on. So his writing was prolific. He was perhaps the biggest literary contributor in the whole Sampradaya. And in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also encouraged everyone to write. If you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a beautiful essay he writes called the Bhagavat, It's ethics, philosophy, and theology. It's a beautiful essay. You can read it. And in this essay, he writes, Vaishnavas should not simply be repositories of information and facts. They shouldn't take knowledge and simply imprison it in their own heart, just like a magistrate imprisons a criminal. He said Vaishnavas must take the knowledge that they've been given, assimilate it very, very deeply in their own life, and then go out in the world and creatively, dynamically, ingeniously share that knowledge in a way that's relevant to the time, place, and circumstance they find themselves in. So in this beautiful essay, the Bhagavat, Bhaktivinoda Thakur encourages everyone, write, express your realizations of Krishna consciousness. This is so much the Vaishnava tradition. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his literary works were also the first Vaishnava works to go to the West. Because in 1896, the year that Srila Prabhupada also appeared in this world, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent his book, Sri Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts. He sent it to the West and it went to different universities. And later on, the devotees found it in McGill University in Canada. So, like this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just like the Goswamis, Nana Shastra Vichara Neko Nipuno, Saddharma Sanstapako. They were establishing Saddharma, the eternal religion, the eternal spiritual principles. In the next verse of Srinivas Acharya's song, he talks about the songs that the Goswamis wrote. Shri Gauranga Gunanu Varnana Vido Shraddha Samridhyanvito Papo Tapani Krantano Tanubritam Govinda Ganamrite Anandam Buddhivardhane Kanipuno Kevalya Nishtarako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yoga Shri Jiva Gopalako Govinda Ganamrite, that the Goswamis wrote many, many songs about Govinda. And in these songs, they expressed the deepest feelings and moods and subtleties of Krishna consciousness. When you write a song, you can only write what's in your heart. A song never comes from the head. A song comes from the heart. So when you hear someone's songs, you can understand what's going on in their heart. So when you hear all the songs in the mundane world, Top of the Pops and all that, you can understand what's in people's hearts. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, so many things. But when you hear the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then you hear the heartfelt cries of someone who is begging to be connected with Krishna. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know how many songs he wrote? Imagine writing one Vyasa Puja offering is difficult, isn't it? Sometimes when it comes around to Vyasa Puja time, it's like writing your thoughts and your heartfelt expressions of appreciation. Sometimes it can take weeks. And then finally, when you get frustrated, you just copy someone else's offering. Change a few words around. You know how many songs Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote? Have a guess. Yeah. Nearly 400 songs. 400 songs. How many realizations must someone have to write 400 songs? That's more than Michael Jackson. Yeah. Yes, definitely. So many song books, Gitavali, Gita Mala, Saranagati, Kalyana Kalpataru. If you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Saranagati, he explains what Saranagati is. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam
Rakshishyati iti vishvasho goptritve varanam tata atmani kshepakarpanye sadvida sharanagati.
He explains what is saranagati, what is surrender. It means six items. Accepting what is favorable, rejecting the unfavorable, seeing that Krishna will protect me, seeing that Krishna is my maintainer, seeing that the gopis were totally in this mood, becoming very, very humble, and ultimately Atmani Vedanam, surrendering everything at the feet of Krishna. So then what Bhaktivinoda Thakur did is he took six of these principles of surrender, and then he wrote many, many songs under each one. So for example, he takes the song of humility, that if you actually want to surrender to Krishna, you have to be humble. We're so proud, we're so hard-hearted, we're so harsh in the way we conduct ourselves, that if there is no softness of the heart, where is the question of giving one's heart to Krishna? Therefore, he explains his lamentation, his transcendental lamentation in the songs about humility. So for example, in one song he says, Amar jivan sade pape rata nahe ko punyera lesha parera udvega diachi je koto diachi jivere klesha. Amar jivan, my life, what is my life? Sade pape rata, I've done all bad activities. Nahe ko punyera lesha, if you examine my life, you will not find one good thing. Not one punya, not one auspicious thing I've done in my life. Parera udvega, I'm giving people always trouble by my activities, by my speech. I'm giving other people anxiety and trouble. Diachi jivere klesha, my life is based around giving other people anxiety. Where is that? Yeah, and that's the point. The humility of the acharyas is the reality of the conditioned soul. This is the point. The conditioned soul thinks, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm doing great. And the reality is that they practically have no advancement at all. And the realization of the pure devotee is that I'm nowhere, I'm falling short, I'm so fallen. Yet inside there's such purity. And therefore the humility of the pure devotee is the reality of the conditioned soul. So when we look at that song and we think, sounds like me. So Saranagati, so many amazing songs that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote. And these songs Prabhupada would often sing. Sometimes Prabhupada would have a harmonium in his room, and sometimes he would just sing these songs by himself. This was Prabhupada, the acharya of the whole world, the one who was preaching everywhere and attracting thousands of people, but in the solitude of his own room, when the world wasn't watching, when the spotlight wasn't on him, then what was he doing? With a harmonium, he was just singing these songs of the acharyas, and very much relishing the association of the acharyas by singing their songs, because this is what the great devotees do. Govinda Ganamrite, they sing these songs, wonderful, which reveal the deepest truths of Krishna consciousness. In verse number 4, Srinivasacharya is talking about the renunciation of the Goswamis.
Tyaktva turnam shesha mandalapati shrenim sadatu chavat bhutva dina ganesha ko karunaya ko pinna kantha shrito.
Sorry, I'm looking at time, so I wish I could spend longer, but I'm just cutting it short.
Tyaktva turnam ashesha mandalapati shrenim sadatu chavat.
The Goswamis were born in the highest families. They were coming from such illustrious backgrounds. Rupa Goswami and Sanatan, they were great politicians. Raghunath Das Goswami was practically a millionaire.
Gopal Bhatta Goswami was the son. He was coming in the family of Sri Vaishnavas, which was the most powerful Vaishnav sect in the whole of India at that time. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was the son of Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra was one of the key persons in Varanasi. Varanasi was also a stronghold of, it was like a spiritual center. So he was the son of Tapan Mishra, who was a prominent person there. Each one of the Goswamis, from a material point of view, they had such influence, such power. They were so illustrious in their own way. But what did they do? Bhutva Dina Ganesha Ko Karanaya. They gave it all up. They kicked off all their aristocracy. They kicked off all their influence and prestige. And what did they do? Gopinna Kantha Shrito. They left everything behind and they simply wore loincloths. And they traveled around like beggars. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also born in a very... He was born in what is known as Bhadra Lok. Bhadra Lok in Bengal are the elite. The Bengali elite are known as the Bhadra Lok. They can be sometimes a little bit proud. So he was born in that background, very, very learned. He knew about shaktas, he knew about different types of worship, he knew about different strands of the Vedic practices. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very, very learned in the sense that he also knew Western philosophy, and he also knew so much about world religions. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his writings, you'll see he expresses so many things about Christianity, for example, because he so much appreciated many of the teachings of Christianity. In one of his essays, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, "When a Vaishnava goes into a church, what should a Vaishnava think?" Sometimes Vaishnavas may go into a church and we have so many bad things to say, you know, "Oh, there's no life here, there's no kirtan, there's no this, there's no that, we're all the people," you know. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "When I go into a church, then I see that here is my same Lord being worshipped with a different culture, with different words, in a different way, but nonetheless it's the same Supreme Lord." He had that appreciation that Christianity had so much personalism within it, and that he very much appreciated. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was greatly learned, coming from an illustrious background. He didn't become a tyagi. He didn't become a beggar. He didn't become a mendicant in the external sense. He became a magistrate. So then how can we say that he was following this aspect of the Goswamis? Because in mood, he was a beggar. When you hear his songs, then you realize he's a beggar. And not only that, he was willing to take the role of being a beggar to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Just like when you go to Mayapur today, then you go to Yoga Pith, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was advented himself. And there the temple, that was established by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that temple. He collected all the money for it. And you know how he collected the money for it? He went begging door to door and said, "I'm simply asking for 1 rupee from each person." And that's how he made the whole temple. He went as a beggar. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Why does he need to be a beggar? He went door to door begging 1 rupee for the establishment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's temple. And in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so much in this mood, not at all intoxicated, not at all affected by his illustrious upbringing, but rather he kicked it all off and was so much in that mood of being a beggar. We're only on verse 4 and it's 8:25, so I'll just do one more verse and then maybe another day we can finish everything else. So in the 5th verse, it's explained about the Goswamis in the Dham. The Goswamis were amazing personalities who were told by Mahaprabhu, "Lupta Tirtha Udara Ar," excavate the holy places, live in Vrindavan, establish Vrindavan again as an epicenter of spiritual culture and education, so that people for generations can come and get so much inspiration. Kujat kokila hamsa sara sagana kirne mayura kule nana ratna nibada mula vitapa shri yukta vrindavane.
When Bhaktivinoda Thakur retired from his work, then his first thought was, I'll go to Vrindavan. I'll go to Vrindavan and I'll do my bhajan there. What better place than Vrindavan to do your bhajan? At that time, Lord Chaitanya came to him in a dream. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, how can you go to Vrindavan? You've got work to do in Mayapur. I want you to go to Navadvip. I want you to go to Nadia. And there, just like the Goswamis excavated Vrindavan as a holy place of pilgrimage, I want you to excavate the same way. I want you to excavate all the places in Navadvip, in Mayapur. So there Bhaktivinoda Thakur went, and through his transcendental vision, he began to establish all the different glories of Navadvip Dham. He wrote a book, as I mentioned, Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, in which he documented all of the places and the things that happened there. And then on top of that, he wrote another book, Navadvip Bhava Taranga. And this looks at Navadvip, not just as a holy place, not just as a place where many, many pastimes of the Lord took place, but he sees Navadvip through the eyes of a self-realized soul. And he sees Navadvip and he says, Navadvip, this is Isodhyan. Isodhyan means the transcendental garden where the Lord plays his divine leela. So in Navadvip Bhava Taranga, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is walking around Navadvip Dham and he's giving you the vision of Navadvip, not as a conditioned soul coming there for purification, but as a perfected soul witnessing all the activities that go on. In Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, he says, Adya piha shei leela kah gaura roy, kona kona bhagyavan dekhi bar poi. Adya piha shei leela kah gaura roy. Gaura roy, Gauranga, Chaitanya Dev's activities are going on even today. Kona kona bhagyavan dekhi bar poi. But only if you're bhagyavan, very, very fortunate, you will be able to see. So in Navadvip Bhava Taranga, he explains what's going on. And he is a very, very incredible book. And in this book, which is probably the point we'll end on, he establishes who he is. So in this book, he actually explains that his true identity, his ontological identity, his spiritual identity in the transcendent realm of Radha Krishna's pastimes is that he's Kamala Manjari. So just as there's Radha and Krishna who are performing their pastimes, and then around Radha and Krishna, there's the Astasakhi, who are the assistants to facilitate the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And then each Sakhi is having a group of Manjaris who are assisting them to assist Radha and Krishna. So Kamala Manjari, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is in the group of Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari is Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Manjari is the principal Manjari who is the assistant of Lalita Sakhi, who is the principal Sakhi, who is associating with Radharani to assist her in our pastimes with Krishna. And so in this way, we can see Bhaktivinoda Thakur is so completely transcendental. He is the seventh Goswami. From a spiritual point of view, he's the seventh Goswami in the sense that just like the six Goswamis were Manjaris, he was also a Manjari. From the material point of view, he was just like the Goswamis because they were born in such illustrious backgrounds, but they completely gave up everything and dedicated themselves to the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did the same. From the Bhadra Lok, but then went out and just dedicated himself to the mission. From the point of view of the instructions that the Goswamis were given, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the seventh Goswami because every single one of those instructions he completely followed to the T. From the point of absorption, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the seventh Goswami because just as the six Goswamis were completely absorbed, Gopi Bhava Rasam Ritabdi Lahari Kalola Magno Muhur, that they were so much absorbed in the Gopi Bhav, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had similar absorption. And in this way,
Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a completely incredible personality, illustrious personality. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, we're so low, we're so basically mercy cases. And how is it? How is it that we got connected to such a line of teachers? Therefore, we pray to the Goswamis, Oh hey Vaishnava Thakura, Doyara Sagara, Eda Se Koruna Kori, let me become a servant of the Goswamis, a servant of the Acharyas. We study their lives, and their lives have so many amazing teachings for us. Once Prabhupada, I'll just say this. Are they ready? I'm ready to stop whenever they're ready. Okay. Thank you. One time Prabhupada came and he met, there was one archaeologist. So Prabhupada said, what do you do? The archaeologist said, I'm an archaeologist. Prabhupada said, what do archaeologists do? He said, we study primitive people. Prabhupada said, oh, we study advanced people. You study apes, we study acharyas. Because we study lives of the acharyas, because there's so much. They embody a natural purity. We may not have that purity, but when we follow in the footsteps and cultivate such conduct in our own lives, then we will awaken that purity in our own lives. So thank you very much. Sorry it was a little bit rushed. Just some thoughts on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'm sorry we don't have any time for questions and answers. But maybe later on this evening, we're going to have a wonderful play now by Jai Krishna Prabhu and the team. And then at 9:10, we'll be having Pushpanjali. At 1:30, there'll be a feast. And for devotees who wish to, at 6 o'clock, we'll be coming together in the temple room. And we'll be singing the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And as we pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and doing those kirtans this evening, we'll also be praying for the continued improvement of the health of His Holiness Bhakti Chara Maharaj. So we request all the Vaishnavas to please come to the temple room at 6 o'clock so we can sing together for the glorification of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and for the protection of all the Vaishnavas. Thank you so much. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.